that high above the worship, the people of the earth, mercy, Lord, I see the Lord, that I succeed the King. Lamb upon the throne, come on. Some feedback from your phone. Set high upon the worship of the people of the earth, see the Lord, see the Lord. Ah, Shere Bakanda Sele. Lamb upon the throne. Let's worship the Lord here this morning. Listen to the words of this song. The train of his robe fills the temple. Oh, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Cloud of heavenly worshipers surrounding his throne. Join them, huh? Come on now. Holy is the Lamb, Lamb. Oh, holy is the Lamb. I see the Lord. The Lord. The people of the earth, I see the Lord. Eyes have seen the King, Lamb upon the throne, who reigns forever. Oh, yes, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne. Glory to God. Woo. So says Isaiah the prophet. Oh, and his train filled the temple. The train of his robe fills the temple. Oh, there's a cloud of heavenly worshipers around. Let's join them now. Oh,
holy is the Lamb.
The Lamb of God is holy. Halebashando
kiriabaha.
See the Lord high above upon the worship people of the earth. I see the Lord. Do you see him in the eyes of the Spirit, in the eyes of your mind right now? Can you see him?
Lamb upon the
forever. Good morning, everyone. Welcome. Oh, this is the day that the Lord has made. Glory to God. I will rejoice and I will bless his name. Hallelujah. In the words of Isaiah, the prophet, he said, in the year, glory to God, you know, gave a specific time that he saw this wonderful, wonderful thing that he saw. In the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 1, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne. What a marvelous thing. I pray even on today that the Lord will open our eyes to see the glory of the Lord. Even as Jesus said, if thou wouldest only believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. I saw him, he said, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Oh, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, his train filled the temple. My goodness. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another, saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Ah. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. What do you see? You know, the angels, the seraphims, you know, the patrollers and God's alerters, they go back forth and run to and fro through the earth, and they come back and report to the Lord and say, all is at rest. The earth is full of the glory of God. But that's not what we see today. But you can see it. When you transcend into his glory, you can see the peace. You can see the glory. You can see the throne. And you can see the unction of the Spirit around the throne. Nothing moves in heaven without his unction. But all they say is holy, 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 holy is the Lord that sitteth upon the throne. Woo. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, may my eyes today behold the King. Glory to God. I pray that my eyes this very day will behold the King upon the throne. It's an hour of worship, folks. Yes, it is the prayer fire hour, but we start with worship. Glory to God. For the Father seeketh true worshipers. And worship is not just, you know, a minute a day, 5 minutes a day, even 1 hour a day. It's a way of life. Worship. Glory to God. And if we can just soak in this hour, begin this day. Hallelujah. I don't know where you are. It may be a few hours already into the day for you, or several hours. But for me, the day is just getting started. You know, and I am willing, Lord, make me willing today. Even as he says in Psalm 110 and verse 3, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, such as today. In the beauties of holiness, oh glory to God. Can you see, can you feel the beauty of holiness? In the womb of the morning such as this, the Lord will command the dew of youth for you. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. As we come into your presence, Lord, this morning, fill our hearts again, O Lord. Like a rushing mighty wind, fill our hearts again with the power of thy spirit, the power of thy presence. And Isaiah said, woe is me, I am undone, for my eyes have seen the King. Glory to God. This is what happens, folks, to us. When you see the beauty of holiness, you feel like nothing in his presence. Even John on the Isle of Patmos, this same John who walked with him, talked with him, sat with him, leaned against him at dinner and everything, you know, went everywhere with him. Jesus didn't go anywhere with any of the disciples unless John was there. John, Peter, James, they went everywhere with him. But that was when he was the Son of Man. When he came in his glory, his eyes like fire, his feet like burning brass. When a stream issued out from his mouth, when his voice sounded like thunder, and he roared like the Lion of Judah. Glory to God. John said, I fell at his feet as dead. That's right. Oh, Lord, we fall down before you today. I bow, Lord, before you today. Fill my heart with your presence. There is a void in our souls, in our spirit, folks. There is always that void. And there's only one thing, truly, that can fill it. It's the presence of the Lord. It's the Spirit of the Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. The psalmist said, Lord, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Oh, restore the joy of my salvation. Let me feel that presence once again. He said, I have seen the Lord in the temple. I have seen his glory. Even in the sanctuary. Glory to God. You know, even the children of Israel, they saw it. Only they didn't want any part of his presence. The Bible says that on Mount Sinai was altogether in a pillar of fire and smoke. They saw it. They heard the thunderings and the voices. They saw the glory and they saw the cloud. They saw God descend upon that cloud, upon that mountain in a cloud of fire. Woo! But they didn't want any part of that. They removed far away. They said, we don't want any part of that. We don't want any part of that. And I say, oh my goodness, why in the world would somebody not want the glory and the presence of God? Why would they remove away? Why would they run away from his presence? Come, ye children, unto me, saith the Lord. Come into the mount of the Lord. And let us sup together. Let's not run away from his presence. His presence is, yes, it looks altogether like a devouring fire. But that's only when people's lives, the sacrifice, we talked about that 2 days ago. That's when that sacrifice is not pleasant to him. That's when it is a devouring fire of judgment. And he won't even come, the Lord won't send that fire, won't come near it. But when our lives please him, when we sanctify, when we cleanse ourselves, Bible says, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord, having therefore these promises, when we cleanse our spirit and our flesh from all filthiness, then we want to come into his presence. I want to come into his presence, you know. If he kills me, I still will come. You know, why would anybody not want to come? Glory to God. Enoch said, I must get in there. Adam said, son, you can't go in there. It's locked up. It's locked up. And he said, you mean you had that with God? I mean, he visited you. I mean, you could hear him. You had power over the animals. You could go in the sea. You could do all these things. I mean, you had the glory of God and you're telling me it's locked up. You know, what be these seraphims and this flaming sword that I see? His grandfather said, son, you can't do it. It's over. I'm sorry. Enoch said, look, I'm going in there. One way or another, I'm either going in there or what's in there is coming onto me. He wouldn't back down. He kept pressing in. He walked with God. He talked with God. For 300 years, he said, Lord, show me thy glory. I want some of that. He pressed in every day. The closer he got to God, the farther away he got from the darkness. The darkness and death is walking in man, has been walking in man since the fall. And the light and the life so far away. But Enoch pressed in and pressed in and pressed in. I want some of that. And one day, glory to God, he was completely changed into light and he was gone. That's it, folks. That's the story. That's what it's all about. You know, that's why we do this Walking with God series. You know, you're welcome into the Walking with God Club today. And we must walk with God. And Enoch had sons and daughters that didn't prevent him from walking with God. He was 65 years old when he began to walk with God, after he heard the same stories that all the other people heard, that didn't make them any difference. All the generations from Adam till Enoch, they heard the same stories that Enoch heard. But they just said, oh, what a wonderful story, Grandpa. And they just moved on, you know. But he made no impact in their lives. But one man said, nah, I will hear you more about that. You mean we lost all that and we can't get that back? I'm going in there. And I said, no, you can't. He said, well, I'm going in there one way or another. And Lord, thank you for that passion. Yes, this is the untold story in the book of Genesis. And I'm telling you today. And that passion was in that man's heart. And he sought after the Lord. Glory to God. My soul longeth after thee, O Lord, as the hart panteth after the water brooks. So panteth my soul after you, O Lord. Oh, let me see the glory of the Lord. Moses. After all the miracles and the signs and wonders in the land of Egypt, he saw some of the most incredible miracles that nobody ever saw. It was a trailblazer. He saw all kinds of things, even the parting of the Red Sea. Hundreds of thousands of Egyptians pursuing after them destroyed all at once. You know. They walking through on dry land, all of that and everything. And yet he said, show me thy glory, Lord. Are you telling me that all of that was not glory? He said, show me thy glory, Lord. Oh, I want some of that. And we need this hunger in our hearts. That's why we're doing this prayer fire room. We got to get that hunger back in our hearts. We got to get back to that place where I want some of that. Glory to God. Now I want you, you know, to pray with me here this morning before we get started. All of that was to get us fired up for his presence this morning. My goodness, God has an amazing amazing package for us this morning, but we've got to want it. You know, we got, the Lord said, look, you will find me when you seek me with all your heart. You know, we can't find the Lord if we are just casual seekers. But those who are deep in their heart, they have this longing. Jesus said, they shall be filled. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Seek ye first his kingdom. Glory to God. The righteousness of God. My goodness. When we pursue that, you know, there comes a time God will turn around. You know, he will turn around and chase after you too. That's right. You know, it starts by you chasing after him. Jesus said in John chapter 14, beginning at verse 21 to about 23, he said, if a man love me, he will keep my commandments, and I will come unto him. My Father and I will love him, and we will come and make our abode with him. Now, this is him coming after you now, because you sought him. But there is a line that you must cross that's going to make God stand up. We got to cross that line. There is a line. When you cross that line, he'll stand up and he'll come after you. And that line, you know, we need to get past all of the little foxes, all of the things that holding us back, that's making that sacrifice unpleasant, bringing a stench to the Lord. But when you cross that line, Enoch crossed that line. My goodness. When you crossed that line in the right direction, though, not in the negative direction, you cross that line in the right direction, then he comes after you. Glory to God. I will come to him. My Father and I will come unto you, and we will make our abode with you, and we will sup with you. Oh, goodness. Even he stands right now at the door. He's coming, but knocking. But will the people open unto him? Oh, no. You know, we got a million different things, you know, that's more important than opening unto him. Behold, I stand at the door. I want to come in. That's not a message for unbelievers. I stand at the door. Will you let me in? And when he comes in, will you give him the master key to every room in the house? Or will you say, well, you can go in here, but not over here? You know. And there are so many rooms in our hearts that are locked up, in our lives that are locked up. We will never let Christ in there because of walking in the flesh. But when we begin to walk in the Spirit, get back into that bubble. It was like a bubble. You know, Adam was inside that bubble. The spirit man was on the outside. Today, everything has been turned upside down since the fall. The flesh is now on the outside. It takes God so much effort to get to the spirit now. We need to get back inside that bubble. Let the spirit be on the outside. That's like walking in the spirit. Let that flesh shrink. In fact, let it die. You know, and that's why we talked the other day about the sacrifice and the fire. Bring it to the altar every single day. I don't know, was that yesterday or when? I forget. Anyway, today we are here. Good morning, everyone. Sometimes when I get on this subject of walking with God, I get carried away. You know, so let me get right back here. You know, good morning, everyone. What a beautiful, beautiful way to start the room. Oh, glory to God. Lord, bring me back down here. Oh, God. But I don't, you know. The Lord doesn't want you down here, actually. He wants you there. You know, one time he came, he said, Adam, where are you? You know, what are you doing down there? You know, God is here. What are you doing there? You know, well, you know, the, you know, he's over there because of disobedience. He bust that bubble, you know, bust that bubble. When you are not living in the spirit, God can't even see you. He's looking for you. You know, his eyes run to and fro. There is nothing that he's hiding from God. But Adam was hiding from God because he was no longer in the spirit. When you are not in the spirit, you are hidden. God's looking for you. He can't find you. God is looking for Adam. That's a message for you already this morning. I haven't even got into my message and I'm preaching. You know, God is looking for you. He cannot see you when you are outside the bubble of the spirit. He can't see you. He's looking for you. Where are you? Where are you? You know, why are you running from his presence? He can't even find you. So we got to come. Someday, if the Lord allows me, I will go into that even more. But today, let's get into it. Today, we're going to be talking about a subject that is so critical because people hardly ever talk about it. You know, we talk all the time about generational curses. And I'm going to deal with some of that today. I may be doing this room in two parts because there's so much to do. I don't think I can cover it this morning alone. I may come back and do part two of this same thing tomorrow because I have to deal with this subject that is so important. Generational blessings. That's right. You heard me. Generational blessings. Glory to God. You know, so, Father, I thank you, Lord, this morning. The entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. I pray that the message this morning will bring light into our hearts and give understanding to us, Lord, in the name of Jesus. But before I get into that, let me remind you of our theme scripture in this room, Leviticus chapter 6, verses 12 and 13. And Pearl, you did such a great job the other day posting my scriptures for me. If you would do that for me too, I'd be great. I'd be grateful. That'd be great. This is our theme scripture. We got to get back that fire and that burning of the wood. Putting wood on that fire every morning. Every morning. You know, he said the fire must be burning. It must never be put out. The priest must lay the wood in order every morning. That's what we're doing here. And he must burn. You know, the fat. That fat, oh, come on. God don't want any part of that. Burn it up. Burn all that grease. Burn it away. You know, all that stuff, burn it away. Even as the book of Colossians says, mortify the deeds of the flesh. Burn it away and lay the wood in order. You know, repair that altar every morning. Put it in order and get some fire. Glory to God. The fire must be burning. It shall never be put out. Thank you, Jesus. Never be put out. You know, so that's our theme scripture. And along the way, we have to deal with the things that prevent that fire. You know, and here's one of them today. This is a powerful one. You know, because people are all wrapped around this generational curses thing. Everywhere I go, I hear it, you know, I've been hearing it forever, but people forget that there are generational blessings. And that's what I want to bring this morning. First, let me deal with the generational curses because that's the one that people are most familiar with. Well, you know, but look, let me tell you something, you know, there is always light and darkness. You know, always from the beginning, when God will begin to set things in order, he saw the darkness after he made the heavens and earth. Everything was too chaotic. He didn't like any part of that darkness. He commanded the light to shine out of darkness. You know. And he said, let there be light. But did you know that God did not say, and let the darkness be no more? He didn't say that. He left the darkness in place. But he let the light shine out of the darkness. You know. He didn't exactly rebuke the darkness and say, darkness, be no more. If he had said that, there would have been no more darkness. He did not. As a matter of fact, he gave a name to the darkness. He called it night. And he saw that the light was good and he called it day. And he left both side by side until this day. So look, there's always going to, you take your pick. You know, you can wallow in the generational curses. Or you can get inside the wheel of fire in these generational blessings that I want to talk about today. You know, so, but I'm going to bring, you know, I'm going to bring both of them out. There is no doubt that these generational curses have been working. It's like death working. God said to, you know, I mean, God wanted Adam to be in his image. And he made him in his likeness and his image. But Adam couldn't do it. He couldn't. You know, through disobedience, he couldn't do it. In Genesis chapter 5, we're told that Adam brought forth a son in his own image. He didn't bring forth the son in the image of the Christ. You know, God wanted to create a generation of God kind. What we ended up was mankind. Darkness got in there. The devil fouled it all up. And of course, it was just a little disobedience, you know, staying with the word. She didn't, you know. And then here is all the mess that we have. You know, but that darkness has been there. Think of it as a spectrum. You know, there's on this far left, there is darkness and death. On the far right, there is light and life. For the most part, we start out over here on the left, you know, and we can progress towards that light. When we have an encounter with Christ in our lives, and the Holy Spirit comes, we start moving in the right direction, which is towards the right. And that's where light and life are. But it's a journey. It's a lifetime journey. And until you get there, you know, we're being changed from glory to glory. 2 Corinthians 3:18. Changed from glory to glory. And Enoch figured it out. How to keep pressing forward. Not take few steps forward and a few steps backward. Which is what most of us do. We press in towards that light and that glory. But we can't stay there. You know, the other day I said stay on the altar. Now we can't. We go in, we come out. We go in, we come out. And God knew that. So he said, okay, come back every morning. Be sure you come back every morning and set it in order. Again, every morning, command the womb of the morning. Every morning, set it in order again. You know, so this darkness has been there forever. Even in Matthew chapter 13, the Lord said, look, let them both grow together until the end of the age. So you can't do anything about that, but you can get away from it. You can outpace it. You know, that's right. You know, Enoch outpaced the rate of growth of death and darkness. He was moving towards the light faster than death and darkness could catch up with him. And he outran that thing. Just think of it. Imagine it on that spectrum. It's that race. He outpaced it. You know, and the rate at which he was changing to light was faster than the rate at which death and darkness was trying to get him and pull him back. But death and darkness were getting everybody and pulling them back. And they all died one by one. They started out with 900 and something years. And those years began to fizzle away. As the farther they got away from that light, the shorter and shorter the lifespan became. You know, But one man figured out how to outrun that darkness and death and be united with that light. And he was gone. Glory to God. That's my goal. I pray, Lord, that, you know, that my path, my race towards that light will outpace death and darkness. And I will be changed faster into light than death can catch up to me. And I will be gone. Glory to God. You know, and there are some folks eventually that will be changed. And I pray, you know, that I will still be alive. And those of us who are alive and remain, you know, death is not the only way to leave this world, folks. That's another, you know, of those things that this doctrine of the generation of curses and things like that have brought and corrupted the minds of God's people. You know, you can be changed. Hallelujah. And God put a witness in this Bible of somebody that left the earth without seeing death. And so did Elijah. By the mouth of two or three witnesses, he put it out there. But before we get there, we got to deal with these generational curses. I don't even need to spend a whole lot of time on that today. Everybody knows it. You've heard it. It's been preached to you sideways, upside down, every which way. Well, but I'm going to tell you something today that Christ, here's what it says in the book of Galatians, chapter 3 and verses 13 and 14. Christ, he broke all that. But do you believe that he did it? Why, absolutely. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. There would have been no curses. There would have been no generational curses. There would have been none of these evil passed from generation to generation. None of these evil things in your DNA. None of the quote unquote bad fortune that passed from, you know, generation to generation. Every misstep, every time you're trying to get ahead, you can't. And all of these evil, you know, even marriages, divorce, all these things, you know, some people inherit all these bad genes and bad DNA and so on and so forth. And they just, you know, some men, you know, what they've gone through and everything, and they inherit the same thing and they begin to abusive, you know, to their wives because, you know, that's how they grew up. That's, you know, all of these things don't pass on to them, you know. But look, shall we continue in that or shall we begin to show that Christ has put an end to that and that people need to be translated from darkness into light? Or shall we continue to wallow in the darkness? Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Be made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Jesus was cursed because of you and me. God put all the curse and everything else upon him. And that one moment in his life, he was never, from the beginning when God said to him, looking at the Son, he said, let us make man in our image. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3 will tell you that Christ was who the Father was talking to because he was there with him from the beginning. The glory that I had with you from the beginning, Jesus said, I have given unto them. He was there with the Father from the beginning. He was the only one that was in the image, the express image of God. Hebrews 1, 3 says. And so God said, look, I'm going to make them just like that, just like us. And Romans 8, 29 said, we must come into that likeness of Christ, you know. For those whom God did foreknow, them he also predestinated to become. That's the predestination. It's not a predestination that you be saved or not saved. No. The predestination is that you will become like the Christ. Romans 8 and 29. Read it again. those whom he did foreknow, them he also did predestinate that they might be conformed. Glory to God, to the image of the Christ. Ah, and the Bible says, as we have borne the image of the earthy, you know, we've burned all these generational curses. Now it is time for us to bear the image of the heavenly. Enough of these generational curses already. Come on now. You know, let's move on, you know, to some real power with God. Amen. You know, Christ even has abolished death. People don't believe that. That he has brought immortality and light to life through the gospel. And wallowing in all these curses. But it is necessary for those curses to be broken. I'm not making light of that. There's a lot of people that are still wallowing in that. And that's why a lot of preachers are preaching about it, trying to help the people to get out of it. But how long? How long will you halt between two opinions? You know, if darkness and death be the thing, then be there already and stay there. But if light and life in Christ be the new thing, then come on out of their darkness and be translated into the kingdom of his glorious Son. And one day, hanging upon that cross, Jesus feared that moment. He feared that moment. And he said, Father, Lord, I know I came for this purpose, but look, I can't go through it, because he was going to be separated from the Father for you and for me. He was going to be made darkness. He who knew no sin was made sin for us. And the moment that God put all the sins and all the curses of this world upon him, that's right, he did too. When he did that, 2 Corinthians 5:21 tells us, God made Christ to be sin for us. Jesus became sin. He became darkness. And did you know that in 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, the Bible says, God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. So that moment that Jesus became sin, he was darkness. In fact, literally speaking, there was darkness on the face of the earth for 3 hours, because the light was taken out of the body whom God had prepared for the Christ. The spirit inside of him was God, but the body was the Son of Man. And he lamented and said, oh, Eli, 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 lama sabachthani. Why, O Lord God, hast thou forsaken me? Yeah, God had to forsake him. God would have no part of that darkness. That's the price that Christ paid for us. That's what he agonized about. That's what he was scared about. But he said, look, nevertheless, let thy will be done. Oh, but he prayed through. He got the victory. In that garden, he was all alone. He got the victory. He prayed through. Sweat of blood coming out of his forehead, and he got the victory. He knew he had to deal with that moment of separation from the Father, but he got the victory because of you and me. I mean, look at all the things he went through. Now, why should we still continue to be wallowing in the things that Christ already paid for? He said, look, it is finished. While he was on the cross, he said it. It's finished. Even before he went to the cross, in John chapter 17, he was praying. Before he even went to the cross, he said, look, I have finished the work that you gave me to do. That's right. When he was talking to the woman at the well, John chapter 4. Finally, in verse 34, after his disciples came back and all of that, and they said, well, we thought you were hungry. You know, and he said, look, I have meat that you know nothing about. My meat, John chapter 4 and 34, is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Finish it. Don't not leave it halfway done. Finish it. And on the cross, he said, it is finished. Now, if it is finished, then why are we still under it? Well, those that have not been translated from the kingdom of darkness into this light. Yeah, they should still be underneath it, but not you. If you have been, if you have encountered the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, as it is written in Titus chapter 2, it says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men." You know, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live in this world, you know, righteously, soberly, and godly, while we are waiting for the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Titus 2:11-13. If you have made that encounter, then you need to get away from all these generational curses. I can begin to list all the curses and begin to pray the prayer that's going to break them. But Christ already broke them. You know, Christ already broke all of that. As a matter of fact, he took all the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, the Bible says, and nailed them to the cross. Wow. He did that. In Colossians chapter 2 and verse 14, it says that he blotted out the handwriting of ordinances. You know, any kind of curse that the law brought into the lineage of man, any kind of curse that you have inherited, Christ put an end to it. He blotted out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us. He took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Glory to God. That's Colossians 2 and 14 for you. And I tell you, many people, many people, unintentionally, they've had these things passed on to them. You know, don't let anybody lay hands on you. Because you don't know who they are. Sometimes people lay hands and they pass an evil spirit onto them. You know, even they try, those of us that grew up in Africa, those traditions are demonic. Many of those traditions, demonic practices, they open a portal, a gateway, you know, for demonic things to pass on from generation to generation and from generation. We know that. I'm not denying that. I have seen, if I want to stay here and tell you demonic things that I've seen, even when I was a young man, and things that God allowed me to cast out, you know, I never mess with the devil. Cast them out is all I do, you know, because Jesus said, cast him out. He didn't say, you know, entertain him. He said, wherever you go, cast out devils. You know, that's what we're supposed to be doing, not entertaining and not, you know, not glorifying this thing. You know, but people have been glorifying it. You know, we will keep preachers, we'll keep preaching these generational curses forever. But no, we need to start talking about the generational blessings. But I had to bring you that comparison today, you know, in order for me to get into the generational blessings. Because people are still tied around the generational curses. And they're there. Make no mistake about it. I have seen the power of darkness in operation, but I have seen the power of light. Glory to God. That is able, you know, to break that thing to pieces completely. And every single time he will too. And you will see that glory in your life if thou couldest only believe. So believe with me today. We're going to walk on the coals of fire. Glory to God. He has blotted out the handwriting of ordinances, folks. So don't even go there. It's already done that. You know, this is what you have today. Psalm 16 and verse 6. You now have a new, somebody say new where you are. You know, I have a new spiritual heritage. That's what I have now. You know, I don't need to be wallowing in all those, you know, things anymore. Glory to God. The Lord, I'll start from the previous verse. I was going to read verse 6, but let me start from the previous verse. The Lord is the portion of my inheritance and of my cup. The Lord is my portion, not some curse. You know, that's my portion. You know, and the Lord will maintain my lot. The lines are falling unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. I am not under the curse. I've got the sure mercies of David. I am not no longer under some generational curse, folks. You know, and I can spend 2 hours dealing with those generational curses. But I got to move on to something better. Paul said, behold, I show you a more excellent way. Yes, there are those generational curses that have been holding people back. And some of us that are in this room today, they've been dealing with that. And it's been holding you back. But behold, today, I show you a more excellent way. That's right. A more excellent way forward. It's called a goodly heritage. Your spiritual heritage in Christ. You know. And we got to break. Glory to God. We got to break those agreements. And that's why a lot of preachers and men, powerful men and women of God, they mean well. They try to help the people to break the power of those curses. But how long? How long are we going to do that? Christ has already broken. You know, he has broken every yoke. He has broken every gate. He has cut us under every brass thing. You know, look, when God met Paul, Christ met Paul on the way to Damascus. Saul he was at the time. He said to him, look, I have called you, I'm sending you to the Gentiles, you know, to teach them, you know, how to get from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. You know, people, that's the first step in salvation, folks. Nobody can be saved unless they are moved. It's the work of the Spirit. They are moved from darkness into light. But we are all in darkness. You know, that's the first step. But if we are moved in that direction, why do we keep going back there? You know, and why do we keep accepting all that stuff that the devil still tries to keep putting back on us? Why? You know, isn't it time for us to move on? Huh? Isn't it time? Isn't it time for us to get away from all of that? You know, Paul said, look, he appeared unto me and said to me, I called you to be, you know, to the Gentiles, you know, to show them the light, that they might be delivered from the power of Satan unto the power of God, so that they may receive the inheritance that is in me, along with the rest of the saints, you know, that their eyes may be opened, you know. My goodness. You know, this is what God wants us to do. Delivering us from the power of darkness into the power of light. And so let's not remain in darkness. Ladies and gentlemen, you know, if I can pour out my heart to tell you this, I don't know. I will. But look, let's not continue to wallow. The Bible says, look, the dog has returned to his vomit, and the pig or the sow has returned to her wallowing in the mud. And so we don't want to do that. Christ already cleansed us. He already, you know, translated us from darkness into light. Oh, he has translated us from the kingdom of darkness into the glorious liberty that came in Christ. Ah, thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Let me just stop here for a minute and just thank him. Translated from darkness. So let that soak in for a minute. Glory to God. Read it in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13. Let it soak in for a minute. Ah. Christ has delivered us from the power of darkness. Has he delivered you? And he has translated us into the kingdom. God delivered us, translated us to the kingdom of his dear son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of our sins. Look, you know, that's why I said I'm going to do this room in two parts. Because in order for me to get to these generational blessings and for people to accept it, first of all, I have to dismiss this thing that is over people that they think that they must remain under these curses and these generational curses. I could just jump right into the generational blessings, and I will get there. But I got to deal with this first. You know, deal with it that Christ has delivered us from this thing. Translated us. Glory to God. Colossians 1 and 13 and 14. You know, can you put verse 13 out there too, also, Pearl? 13 and 14. I want both verses. Okay, yeah, I see it. You put it there now. I see it. You know, Christ, you know, has delivered us. This is so key, folks. I mean, I can dwell on just that one topic alone. Just dwell on that alone. And just stay there for several minutes, just so we can see how powerful it is. And it is important, you know, because if we don't get that understanding, we're going to keep going back. I mean, I don't want anybody to leave this room and say, oh, Pastor Yaro, that was a wonderful message, you know, and that's all, you know, and then you go right back into, you know, some other prayer room where they're trying to break the curse from your life, you know. So what's that all about? You know, you go away from this place, there, you know, there must be no concept of that in your mind anymore. That's broken. You know, I mean, all that every day and every year, remembering all those things and so forth. You know, that's why people cannot, you know, get ahead in this walk with God. This walk with God is supposed to take us from darkness to light. And one day when we are fully changed to light, we'll be translated, just like Enoch. But to get there, we got to cast off all these garments of you are under this and you are under that and, you know, generational curse of this and generational curse of that. The which I admit there's a lot of those, you know, and I'm not making any light of those. There is a lot of those things there, you know, but I tell you too that Christ has broken that yoke. He's broken it. The yoke, and the Bible says, be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Don't put yourself back in there. Christ has already done it, you know. Don't put yourself back in there. Otherwise, you know, we're going to make the sacrifice of Christ to be vain. I'm going to read to you this powerful scripture in the book of Acts chapter 26. And this is Paul recounting his experience, you know, of what happened to him on the way to Damascus when he was trying to go get letters to persecute the church and to haul them into prison. He says here, you know, from verse 15, the Lord said to him, I am Jesus, whom thou persecuted. This is Acts chapter 26 and verse 15. But rise and stand upon thy feet. I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send you. Now listen to this next verse. This is the process, you know, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light,
and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by the faith that is in me. That's the process. It starts with, you know, turning people from darkness to light. You know, and if you've already experienced, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. If you've already experienced that, then you should have passed from darkness to light. Let's not go back into the darkness. And don't let anybody put that back on you. But if you are not sure, then you need to get that help and get that thing broken. But look, you don't have to keep coming and they, you know, they keep breaking and casting out the, you know, the generational curses, breaking all the curses. And then you come back again next month and they break all the curses and they come out again and then they break all the curses. It's already happened. You know, Christ broke all these things. And this is the process. You are translated from darkness to light. And if there's anybody in this room or listening later on, if you haven't experienced that, that's the first thing. You must experience a removal of the darkness, or you being removed from the darkness and being brought into the kingdom of Christ, which is light. And then delivered from the power of Satan to the power of God. This is the deliverance that people experience and they go for prayer all the time. When you're delivered today, you come back next week. You need to be delivered again. You come back next month. You need to be delivered again from generational curses. And you come back next year, you need to be delivered again. Look, Christ said, it is finished. It's a one-time thing. It is done. He broke that curse. He broke it completely. Hallelujah. Now, some of you may have had covenants made, you know, on your behalf that you didn't know about. You know, we know that. We understand that. You know, there's many covenants and many things that are made, you know, especially those of us that grew up in Africa, we experience all these things. You know, all our traditional fathers, you know, they sold their lineage and their clans to their devil. You know, and when they have children, they invoke all these spirits upon them. We know that. You know, and even when they get married, they invoke it on them. When they die, they invoke it. You know, I mean, it's just all over the place. We know that. We understand that. But, you know, enough of that. When you are a believer, enough of that. We need to separate ourselves from the darkness. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. And there's where I'm going to put that in. This is the last of these verses that I'm going to tell you about that. And then I'm going to go on to the generational blessings. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 28. And verse 18. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Excuse me for a minute. I'm going to read that verse to you. And your covenant with death shall be disannulled. Isaiah 28 and verse 18. And your agreement with hell shall not stand. Glory to God. So that's the one prayer that people need to pray. And that's a prayer that deliverance ministers pray for people all the time, to break those curses. But for me, I say to you today, you know, that look, that was broken at the cross. Jesus took care of it, you know. Don't put your neck under that yoke anymore. He took care of it. You can do some self-deliverance, folks. Self-deliverance. Take this thing that I'm saying today and do self-deliverance for you. You don't need people who are all over the place praying for you. Isaiah 52 and verse 2 says, you know, snap out of that. You know, it says, shake, arise, and shake thyself from the dust. You shake yourself. You don't need anybody to shake you. you arise and shake yourself from the dust. Loose yourself from the bands of the around your neck, all this yoke of generational curses. Loose yourself from it. Enough already. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Ah, can you post that scripture for me? Isaiah 52 and verse 2. Oh, my goodness. Yes. Lose yourself from the dust. Shake yourself up. You know, bestir yourself in the power of the Lord. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Don't submit your neck under these generational curses anymore. Lose thyself from that those bands around your neck. And then let's move on to some good stuff. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Listen, I have some good news. Good news. Good news. There are generational blessings in store for you if you can understand it. You know, the Lord put it smack down upon Abraham. He said, in thy seed shall all nations be blessed. Now, that's generational blessing. So let me go to straight to the beginning. Thy seed, which is Christ. Now, if you are Christ's, then you are blessed already. Right from the beginning. And I'm going to show you how he passed those blessings, you know, down through the ages. How he passed the blessings on and on and on. You know, but first, let me read this in Deuteronomy chapter 11. Let me read, you know, verses 18 to 21. This is what we should be doing now. He says, you should lay these my words in your heart and in your soul. These words that I'm telling you today. You should bind them upon, you know, as a sign upon your hand. Let it be like glasses, frontlets in between your eyes. Teach them to your children. Pass the good things along, not the negative things. Teach them to your children, speaking of them when you sit in the house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. Write them upon the doorposts of your house, and I dare say upon your heart as well, upon your gates and everywhere, that your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children. You know, I mean, anytime God's talking about blessings, he's always talking about you and your children. Now, if that's not generational blessing, I don't know what is. That your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children in the land in which the Lord swore unto your fathers to give them as the days of heaven upon the earth. So that's where we are starting today. You know, we're going to start at all the blessings that God put upon Abraham, put on Isaac, transferred to Isaac, transferred to Jacob, and indeed even actually transferred, you know, to the Christ, because, you know, the scriptures explain to us that that seed that was promised that in Abraham's seed will be blessed, that it was actually Christ rather than Isaac. So let's go to the beginning and read it and see when God began to bring to pass these blessings for us. You know, let's look at Genesis, when God would appear to Abraham in Genesis, you know, chapter 1. But first, you know, he was Abraham then. He was 90 years old, Genesis 17 and 1. And the Lord appeared to him and said, I am Almighty God. Walk before me. Now that's that walking with God again. And be thou perfect. You know, and he began to tell him, I will make my covenant between me and thee, and I will multiply thee exceedingly. And when Abraham began to fall upon his face as God talked to him, he worshipped. And God said, as for me, my covenant is with thee. Thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name be called Abraham anymore, but thy name shall be Abraham. For a father of nations I have made thee, and I will make thee exceeding fruitful. Listen to this. Don't stop there. And I will make you, you know, of you nations, of thee kings shall come out of thee. Now, he said that, and that's good. But did he stop there? No. Verse 7. And I will establish my covenant between thee, me and thee, and thy seed. Now, that's generational. I will put my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations. You talk about a generation of blessings. You know, God put it right there from the beginning. Not only to you, Abraham, but also to all your seed. At that time, he had nobody. But when Isaac came, he would get the same blessing. When Jacob came, he would get the same blessing. And Christ already got it. Because Christ was really that seed. Glory to God. You know, and now you got it in Christ as well. You know. I will put it upon not only between me and thee, but thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And God, he just kept on emphasizing it. Whatever I'm blessing you with, I'm blessing your seed with it as well. Now, we're going to show later, maybe tomorrow, I don't think I'll get to that, the responsibility that the seed must do in order to carry on and remain in the blessing. But the blessing is passed on. I can tell you that. I can prove it from the scriptures, and I will. You know, so that's what the Lord told him. And let's fast forward to Genesis chapter 26. And we're going to read something here. That is very important. Genesis chapter 26. You know, let's look at verses 1 to 5. You know, this is the story of Isaac and all of that and so forth. You know, but let me just jump to, you know, the Lord appearing to him. This is Isaac now. You know, and he said unto him, sojourn in this land and I will be with thee. This is verse 3 of Genesis 26. You know. I will be with thee and I will bless thee, for unto thee and to thy seed. Well, first he gave it to Abraham. Now he's giving the same promise to Isaac. Unto thee and to thy seed will I give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. And so God is bringing that connection here. You know, there's a connection. Yeah, I'm giving this to you because I gave it already to your father. You know, that's generational blessing. I gave it to your father. And I'm giving it to you. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven. And I will give unto thy seed. Wow. All these countries. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Wow. Now that seed is Christ. You know, in thy seed. Why? Listen to this. The key is in verse 5. That's the key. Why is the Lord going to do this for Isaac? Is it because of Isaac? No. The Lord said, it is because your father Abraham obeyed my voice. Because your father obeyed my voice and kept my charge and his commandments and so forth, therefore I will bless you. My goodness. You know, people say, oh, you know, the fathers have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge. No. Well, that was then. I say that on the other hand, God can bless the seed also because of the obedience of their father. Why are we always looking at the negative and not the positive? This is what he said, point blank. Because your father obeyed my voice, therefore will I bless you. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. You know, so I'm going to show you these scriptures from scripture to scripture, from scripture to scripture. You arm yourself with it and forget all that nonsense about generational curses. Enough of that. You know, that's the key is written right here in Genesis 26 and verse 5. And what God is referring to is in Genesis 18. You know, God is referring to it in Genesis 18, I think from maybe verse 17 or so. You know, that's right. This is what, you know, the Lord is even talking to here. He said, look, you know, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I shall do? I mean, even when God is going to judge, he's telling Abraham something, you know. He said, look, I know, you know, that Abraham will become a great and mighty nation because God already promised him that. And all the nations of the earth shall be blessing him, for I know him. Now, this is the role of the father. In order to get these generational things passed on, you know, this is God's testimony of Abraham. I say to every father that may be listening, you know, or every parent, you know, what is God's testimony of you? Can God say of you that I know you, that you are going to command your children after you to serve the Lord? Can he say that? You know, I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord. That's right. And because of all of that, God was going to smack the blessing down on them. Glory to God. You know, I'll tell you another thing, you know, that, you know, God did for even, you know, between David and Solomon, you know, between David and Solomon. Let's see how he passed the blessings along. Now, remember, we're talking about generational blessings. So I've got to take my time to bring this, because people are not used to this. You know, people, all that people are used to is just, you know, the curse, you know, that came. But, you know, God made a promise that he's going to bless, you know, Abraham, and he passed it on to Isaac. He even passed it on to Jacob and every one of them, you know, and, you know, when God would show, you know, to Abraham, the immutability of his counsel, we are told in Hebrews 6, that he confirmed it with an oath. An oath, you know, and he swear, because well, God, you know, he knows that just like, you know, God, when God's dealing with men, sometimes he, you know, try to do things so that they can understand. Men generally make an oath. And when they, you know, to settle all things, you know, every strife settled by oath and so on, you know, so, and God also willing to, you know, confirm that he also wanted to make an oath. And generally, you know, to make an oath, you have to swear by somebody that's greater than yourself. You know, that's what he says in Hebrews chapter 6, you know, and verse 16, you know, so men swear by the greater, and an oath is a confirmation to them of all strife. So God also willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs. Now, listen, the heirs. Heirs is not just, you know, one generation. The heirs of the promise of immutability of his counsel, he confirmed it by an oath. But how did he do it? Well, he looked up and down, trying to find somebody greater than himself that he could swear by. But because he found nobody, he swore by himself. You know, you can read that in verse 13. So God made promise to Abraham because he could swear by no greater. He swore by himself and saying, surely blessing, I will bless thee and will multiply thee. Now, multiply means your seed after you. You can't multiply. I mean, one person, you know, one times one is always one. There's no way that it can be more than that, you know. So, but when you multiply the person, you split that off. You know, and then it begins to multiply, and then the blessing transfers, you know, across. Oh, thank you, Jesus. So let's look at some of the things that God did here between David, even, and Solomon. There's some things that passed along there. It's called the sure mercies of David. 2 Samuel chapter 7. Let me read from perhaps about verse 12 or so. You know, 2 Samuel. Let's pick up this story. There's a lot of things that happened in the Old Testament that are written for our examples so that we can learn from them. It's what the Bible says, you know. But listen, this is what, you know, look at what happened to, you know, David here, what God will say to him. I'm looking for verse 12. Okay, let me say here. All right, it says, "And when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, you know, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom." I mean, God is talking to David, but he's talking about his seed already. "He shall build me an house, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever." You know, now, that promise was given first to David. Now, God's going to transfer it, you know, for David's sake. And transfer it now to Solomon. He said, "Look, I will be his father, and he will be my son. And if he commit iniquity," which God knew he was going to do, "I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the stripes of him. But my mercy shall not depart from him because of you." That's exactly right. God is not even talking to Solomon here. He's talking to David about Solomon. That's a generational blessing that is being passed along. "My mercy shall not depart away from him." And, you know, Solomon did some things, crazy stuff, that his mercy, and God's mercy, could have pulled his mercy, just like he pulled it from Saul. But God already promised David that he wasn't going to do it. God said, "Look, my mercy will not depart from him, and I will not take it from him like I took it from Saul." Glory to God. My goodness. Do you think that God can bless your children because of your own faithfulness? Absolutely. Why not? You know, why is it only, you know, eating of sour grapes that needs to make the children's teeth set on edge? Why can't these blessings be passed along? Just like we are seeing here, God can pass those blessings along, and he did, you know. So that's that. Now let's read 1 Kings chapter 9. Let's read from maybe verse 5 or so. 1 Kings chapter 9, maybe verse 4. Let me see here. 1 Kings chapter 9. Okay, so this is God talking to Solomon now, okay. "And the Lord said unto him," I'll start at verse 3. "I have heard thy prayer and thy supplication." You know, you remember he prayed an incredible prayer when they opened the temple and so on, the previous chapter. You know, "and thy supplication which thou hast made before me. And I have hallowed this house which thou hast built to put my name there forever, and my eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually." Now, this is the key. This is how it must pass along. When it passed along, this is what the new generation must also do. And just because it passed along, they have a responsibility as well. But it will pass along. "Now, if thou wilt walk before me as David thy father did, in the integrity of his heart and his uprightness, to do all that I have commanded thee, if you do it just like your father did, with the integrity of your own heart and your own uprightness, to do according to all that I commanded it to do, and to keep all my statutes and my judgments, then I will keep that promise that I made to your father concerning you, and I will establish the throne of thy kingdom upon Israel forever, even as I promised to David your father." You can see how God is transferring the generational promises and blessings over. First, it was Abraham to Isaac to Jacob. Now it is David to Solomon and so on. And he's just passing it along. You know. But of course, there is a warning. If you should turn from following me, you or your children. You know, this is how people break the breach. They breach God's generational blessings if they do not follow on to know the Lord. Now, if they don't follow on to know the Lord and they don't keep my commandments and my statutes, and then they go and serve other gods and worship them or follow the spirit of their age, you know, then of course said, "I'll cut them off," you know. So, but God has a plan to put them there. Listen to Psalm 112, verses 1 to 3. and see how God put the blessing out there right in front of us for the seed of those that trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man. He said, praise ye the Lord. Psalm 112 verse 1. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighted greatly in his commandments. Now, what kind of blessing will he get? His seed. Now, the man is the one that is faithful, but God is now blessing his seed. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. Now, I'm bringing some promises here that you can begin to latch on to for your own generations. First of all, we've broken the continuity of the curses from the, you know, generations beyond you to you. Why should I carry? Why should I be bugged with what somebody else did? I'm in Christ now. You know, Jesus had turned that upside down. He had put the handwriting ordinances against the cross. So now, this is a new day. But here are the blessings of those who come into Christ in the new day. Not only will you be blessed, pass it on to your generations after you. They themselves, in their turn, must follow the ways of God, but it will pass to them. You know, his seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the righteous and the upright shall be blessed. Are you kidding me? Not cursed. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. You know, wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. You know, let's read also Psalm 128. I'm going to read verses, perhaps the first four verses. Let me see if I can find that. Psalm 128. Okay. Verse 1. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. Well, there are blessings for you. It's not just your children that will be blessed. You yourself will be blessed. Why? For thou shalt eat the labor of your house, I mean your hands, and happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. So that's, you know, You get your own blessing. And even your wife shall be blessed. Your wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of the house. You know, thy children also will be blessed. They'll be flourishing like olive plants around your table. You know, thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. Now, this blessing is conferred automatically to his children because of the righteousness of the person. But the blessing, in order for the blessing to remain, that children must themselves walk in the ways of God. There are some lessons in the lessons of Solomon. You can read 1 Kings chapter 11. And Solomon didn't follow. And it was a shame, you know, because God really loved this Solomon man, you know, just like he loved David. He loved him, but he didn't follow. You know, and if you read the story in 1 Kings chapter 11, verses 1 to 13, I won't read it all, but, you know, Bible says, you know, Solomon loved many strange women, you know, and all that, you know, so I'm not going to go into all that, but let's look at verse 8. Solomon, in verse 6, Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and he went not fully after the Lord as did his father David, you know, so. Even though God promised, but God put a condition there. You know, he said, look, if you follow after me like your father did, then the sure mercies of David, you got it. But Solomon did not, unfortunately. He followed all kinds of, you know, weird stuff, you know, married all kinds of, loved all kinds of strange women that brought in gods from all kinds of places. And he, you know, he got a whoring after those gods because he listened to his wife. He did all the strange things, you know. Verse 8 says, and likewise did he for all his strange wives. He burnt incense to their gods. My goodness. And the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which appeared unto him twice. And I commanded him concerning this thing that he should not go after other gods. But he kept not that which the Lord commanded. Can you imagine that? I mean, how God favored this man, you know, told him that because of your dad, I would do all kinds of things. Appeared to him twice, told him, ask me anything, I will give it to you. And he blessed him with incredible knowledge and wisdom and riches beyond anything. But yet, you know, that's why the Lord said, look, stay away from those, you know, women from those strange lands, but he didn't. Because they are going to corrupt your mind. And they did, you know. But listen, here's what the Lord said to him. This is very key. You know, he said in verse 11, wherefore the Lord said unto Solomon, for as much as this is done of thee, and thou hast not kept my covenant and my statutes, which I commanded thee, I will surely rend the kingdom from you. Now, that's a breach of promise. Glory to God. You know, you say, can God breach his promise? Well, absolutely, if you don't keep his covenant. You know, we read that already in Numbers 14 and verses 34 and so on. You know, the people that didn't sanctify the Lord in their hearts, the Lord said, you will know the breach of my promise. You know, so it's not God that's breaking the promise, but the promise was conditional. And if you don't keep that condition, well, the generational blessings are also conditional. Yes, they will pass on to the following generation. And yes, we must teach them the ways of the Lord, but they also have a responsibility to carry on the ways of the Lord. He said, I will rent the kingdom away from you. You know, that's right. I will rent in the kingdom, which I commanded thee, I will surely rend the kingdom from thee, and I will give it to thy servant. Oh, my goodness. Notwithstanding, in thy days, I will not do it for David, my father, your father's sake. You see, God is still remembering the generational blessing, but it's not going to remain for very long because the son is not walking in the ways of the father that walked after the Lord. So there is a responsibility there. But God said, well, because of the, for the sake of David, your father, you know, I will, you know, he said, look, notwithstanding in thy days, I will not do it for David, thy father's sake, but I will rend it out of the hand of thy son. So God prolonged it. And, you know, God made promise to David concerning his son, Solomon. And though, because Solomon did not follow, he, you know, he's going to lose it. But he said, look, just for David's sake, I'm going to let you keep it. But then when your son comes along, I'm going to break it. And then he broke it and rent the kingdom out of their hands. You know, the kingdom of Israel split into two and all that story. You know, so, and it's very key, very, very important. But still, he said, for your father's sake, I will prolong or delay the judgment. Wow. The father's sake. So let's read some scriptures here. I want to give you some scriptures before we pray. You know, I want to give you some blessings that God has put upon our children. Not only for you, but also for your children. Even on the day of Pentecost, after Peter stood up and preached that incredible sermon that he preached, and the people were pricked in their hearts and say, what must we do to be saved? Peter said, look, repent ye and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For this promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. So God doesn't only deal with one person. He will deal with you and your children. You know, and if you believe the Lord in your heart, you can pass the, you know, blessings on to your children. But first, you must retain the blessing. You cannot give what you don't have. You must also get away from the curse and the yoke of generational curses and then walk in the generational blessings. And you can pass it on to your children. But also, you must instruct them to follow the ways of the Lord or they will lose it. But it will pass on to them. Now, whether they keep it or not, that's a different story. But it will pass on to them. Now, let's read some of these things. I've already read for you Psalm 112. You know, let's read Psalm 115, verses 14 to 15. It says, look, and the Lord will increase you more and more, you and your children. That's right. You know, so we see that God is oftentimes dealing not only with us, he's also dealing with our children. The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. And you are blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Isaiah 49. Let me bring out some point blank promises not only for you, but for your children. Isaiah 49 and verse 45. You know, this is God, you know, making some promises even for us and our children. Here's what he said in Isaiah 49 and verse 25. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. He said, "But thus saith the Lord." Well, let me read from verse 24 for some context. "Shall the prey be taken from the mighty, or the lawful captive delivered?" Well, okay. People who lawfully, who put their heads under this generational curse, they are captive at their own will because they choose to be there, so choose to stay there, so they are captives. But here is what the Lord is saying. Even when the devil thinks he's got that, you know, wrapped around all of that, the Lord said, "But thus saith the Lord, even the mighty, the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. For I will contend with him that contended with thee, and I will save thy children." That means break those generational curses. I will save your children. He put it point blank out there. You know, I'm going to go through some promises real quick because I want to get to some prayer here. Luke chapter 1 and verse 50. You know, marvelous story here of, you know, what happened, you know, in the early days when the Lord was going to visit Mary and so forth, you know, and here's what he said. You know, Bible says that, let me start from verse 46. "And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name." And listen, this is the verse where I'm going, verse 50. "And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation." That's how he passes his mercy along from generation to generation. You know, even in Acts chapter 16, verse 31, the jailer, you know, who had Paul and Silas in prison after the Holy Ghost bust them out of there with the breaking the jail and everything like that. And they said to him, "What shall we do?" You know, the man said, "Look, what shall I do to be saved?" And they said to him, "Thou shalt be saved." You know, said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou shalt be saved and thy house." That's Acts chapter 16 and verse 21. Now, here are some more promises, you know. Proverbs 11 and verse 21, you know, for God saying point blank, because of you, how he's going to deliver your children. Now, some of you need to begin to claim these promises already as I'm bringing them out, you know. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 21. I know I'm going through this very quickly, but I'm trying to do that. You know, it says, "Though hand join in hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished." We know that. "But the seed of the righteous shall be delivered." You know, so God has a soft spot for the righteous, you know, and he will, you know, have mercy on their seed. Regardless, he will have mercy on them, you know. So the time that we spend praying for our children will not be lost. You know, the time that you even look for the prodigal sons among your children, they will come back. There's a point blank promise for that. I'm going to read it to you now. Jeremiah 31, verses 16 and 17. Jeremiah 31, verses 16 and 17. Here's what it says. It said, "Thus saith the Lord, refrain thy voice from weeping and thine eyes from tears, for thy work," and I put in parentheses for myself, "thy work over your children shall be rewarded, saith the Lord, and they shall come again from the land of the enemy." I don't care whether they wandered away. I don't care whether they, you know, wallowing in some place where they shouldn't be. They will come again. Hallelujah. "And there is hope in thy end, saith the Lord, that thy children shall come again to their own border." So that's a point blank promise. if you have any teenage children or anything like that, that, you know, not walking in the way that they should go, hopefully you've done your due diligence praying over them, teaching them the way of the Lord. You know, God will bring it to their remembrance. Train your child, Proverbs 22:6, in the way they should go, you know, and they will not depart from me. Even if they depart, here's the promise that God will bring them back. He will bring them back. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's read, you know, I think I already read this, but I didn't read this verse out of it. Genesis, I'm going to go back and read Genesis 26 and verse 24. Let me read that very quickly. Genesis 26 and 24. That's right. You know, so I wanted to point out this thing here that the Lord said, you know, I will bless. I mean, where am I? Okay, Genesis 26 and 24. And the Lord appeared to him the same night and said, I am the God of thy father, Abraham. Fear not, I am with thee, and I will bless thee, and I will multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. Wow. You know, I cannot say enough of that. You know, how that God, you know, blessed even Isaac because of his father Abraham. Now, let's read, I think I've already read 1 Kings 11. You know, let's read Isaiah 54 and verse 13. There's some promises here. Isaiah 54 and verse 13. You know, God promised here that he would even teach our children, you know, but we must do our part. You know, Isaiah 54 and verse 13. And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. Wow. Isn't that wonderful? You know, so, you know, take that any which way you want. God, you know, you can have peace and pass it on to your children, you know, but you must give them a charge. You know, just like David charged Solomon and these people charged their, you know, children after them. And Abraham charged all his children to follow the Lord. We must always give them a charge to follow the Lord. You know, and it's their responsibility to follow the Lord. Isaiah 44 and verse 3. Let me read this quickly and then we're going to pray. Isaiah 44 and verse 3. It says here, for I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. That's good. But he goes further to say, I will pour my spirit upon thy seed and my blessing upon thy offspring. And they, now those are your children and your offspring, they shall spring up as among the grass, as willows by the water courses. So God will bless your seed. He will bless you. There are some stories in the Bible. I'm not going to read it. I'm just going to mention it, but you know the stories. The story of Noah and his family. It was actually Noah that found favor with God. It wasn't his family at all. But Noah, he walked with God. Not exactly as closely as Enoch did, but he walked with God. And, you know, he got some power too. He was able to command all those animals and things like that. You know, but he found favor. And because of him, his entire household was saved. God would destroy the whole world at that time, but save Noah and his house. Praise God. You know, so even the story of Lot, when God would send angels to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, God had mercy upon Lot and his household. And even Lot, God had mercy upon him because of Abraham. You know, even when Lot was delaying, when the angel said, get out of here, I can't do anything until you leave, I got to destroy this place, and he was delaying, the angel pulled him by hand, got him out of there, because he had, you know, remembrance of God's mercy upon him because of Abraham. All these things, you know, so God saved his house. Of course, his wife looked back, you know, and we know what happened to her. Don't look back. You know, don't look back. Let's not look back to all these generational curses. let's move forward, you know, to the new things that God is telling us today. Luke chapter 17 and verse 30 says, remember Lot's wife. Remember, there's a story in there, but he just dropped it like that. You know, when it is time for you to flee for your life, flee for your life. Don't keep looking back. You know, today I'm saying flee from all these generational curses and don't keep looking back. Because remember Lot's wife. Don't keep looking back. Let's look forward. Glory to God. Well, that is my charge to us this morning. You know, I think I probably covered it. Thought I may not have covered it or covered it enough, but I think I did. You know, so now we are going to, let me do this the traditional way. You know, I'm going to invite people to speak in a minute. But, let me first of all acknowledge everyone that I see in the room. Sister VL, God bless you. All the women and men of God that I recognize in the room, I want to acknowledge every one of you. God bless you. I wanted you to come up. I don't know if you couldn't. Brother Elisha, God bless you. I acknowledge you. Thank you so much for being there. Brother Charles, I acknowledge you. I mean, these are powerful men and women of God. I acknowledge all of you. Sister Dana, Sister Grace, God bless you. Always here. Brother Kyle, God bless you. And Brother Jaira, good to see you, man of God. I love every one of you. Brother Kolakpo, God bless you for being here. You know, I don't know if this is your, first time in our room here, Brother Kolakpo, but good to see you. Your wife is always here. That's Sister Grace. You know, lovely lady, powerful, powerful lady of God, always in these rooms with us. You know, thank you, Brother Kolakpo, for being here. Esosa, you know, I appreciate you. Patricia, I appreciate you. Joseph and Sophia, everyone that's in the room. And of course, Sister Alexis, thank you for being here. You know, you've been here in these rooms since we started. And I go to those that are on stage, you know, and if you are still in the listening lounge and you want to come, you know, feel free to come. We want to hear from you. And when we start these declarations, come too, because, you know, you need to make your voice to be heard, you know, and I want to appreciate those that are on stage. Sister Maggie, good to see you. Sister Pearl, you know, I think I should confer upon you the title of secretary of the room. You've been doing such an awesome job just posting those scriptures for me. I thank you so much. God bless you, Sister Lorna. Thank you for being here. Sister Buki, Sister Julia, God bless you. And of course, the lovely Lady Ebon, that's my queen. You know, she's always there with me. She had to drop and go. She triple duty this morning she had. She had another prayer room and yet another prayer room. So she's juggling all of them, you know, and thank you for being here. So I just want to appreciate everybody. And I see that Sister Rachel, I saw something that flashed across. Sister Rachel, God bless you, Rachel Adu, all the way from Nigeria. God bless you for joining. Powerful, powerful declaration this morning. So, you know, I'm going to do this, you know, slightly differently. But first, I wanted to acknowledge everybody. You know, so, and I did. And for those who are listening to the replays, I acknowledge you as well. Listen, you know, there is a process to doing things the right way. You know, we read it already in Acts chapter 26. First, people must be taken out of darkness into light. They must be turned from the power of God. Satan to the power of God. You know, and that's the process of getting saved. But once they are saved, that means they are no longer in darkness. So let's, enough of that, you know. So we are now experiencing blessings from God. Jesus Christ has nailed all that to the cross. He has given us he has translated us. God has translated us from the kingdom of darkness. The kingdom of his dear son. We've read all those scriptures today. They are posted also in the chat room. So, but we will pray. You know, the prayer that I'm going to pray is simply, you know, the scripture that we read out of Isaiah 28. you know. We're just going to say the covenant of death will be disannulled, and the agreement with hell shall not stand. That's it. You know, I'm just going to make a simple declaration. And look, there are some of you that, you know, stuff, you may be a victim of these so-called generational curses, but today I say no more. That's right. You know, I say no more. You know, you had, you know, demonic hands laid on you. You had things happening to you. You've had, you know, people giving you something, you know, to take or to drink or to eat. They were, you know, sanctified to devils and things like that. And all kinds of things passed on through the generations. I mean, things chasing you, your dreams, you're doing all of these things and so forth. Enough already. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Let's put an end to that stuff. Now, if you need to turn your life over, the seat of your heart, if you need to turn that over to Christ for him to be king, you know, that's the first step. We need to do that. You know, but once you've done that, you know, and I'll give an opportunity for anybody in this room or listening later on, you know, make that commitment today to the Lord. That's it. You know, and that's the only way you're going to get this and behind you and let it stay behind you, you know, and so forth. You know, so we need to make that commitment. Once you've made that commitment, you need understanding, because my people perish for lack of knowledge. You know, devil uses this thing, pull people over the wool over their eyes, you know, and so forth. Yes, all these powers are there. We acknowledge them and so forth. But Numbers 23 and 23 says, there shall be no enchantment against Jacob or any divination against Israel. So look, enchantments are there, but they're not going to work against you. Not anymore. Divinations are there, but they're not going to work against you. Not anymore. But if you submit your neck to those things, then they will work against you. You know, John, in John chapter 3, when Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, he said, look, and God told me this thing when I was a young man, just coming up in faith. And I got a hold of this scripture that says, look, you know, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and no man can tell where it's going or coming until it's gone. So is everyone that's born of the Spirit of God, you know, and that's it. The devil cannot divine your life because you are born of the Spirit of God. But if you go submit yourself to them, you go submit to a palm reader, or you go submit to some negative thing, or you go let some, you know, demonic person lay hands on you, then of course, then they begin to put all kinds of things upon you. But, you know, let us submit ourselves to the Lord. You know, the wind blows where it listeth, and the devil cannot divine it. John chapter 3 and verse 8. The wind bloweth where it listeth. You hear the sound, but you can't tell where it's coming or going. So is everyone that's born of the Spirit of God. They can't tell your direction or your movement because you are born of the Spirit of God. You know, but if you go submit, you know, I know of stories of people that have been had difficulties and they are pregnant. They go and submit to all these evil powers. And then the next thing you know, you know, or when they are looking for pregnancy, they go and submit to these evil powers. And the next thing they know, you know, they're giving birth to a demonic spirit rather than a seed of God. You know, instead of having holy seed, they are bringing forth demonic spirit and all kinds of weird stuff, you know, or something happens to that child or whatever, you know, and so on. So look, enough of that. You know, let's break all that. You know, let's break all that. You can do self-deliverance today, Isaiah 52 and 2. And tomorrow, and the next day, and after that. And anytime the devil brings, you know, this thing back to your mind, you don't need to go look for some preacher, some prophet, some apostle, some pastor to tell it to you. God already told it to you. I told it to you today. And you have the power already. You know, it's called snap out of it yourself. Isaiah 52 and verse 2. Shake yourself from that dust. Loose yourself from the bands around your neck. So I am going to pray. When I pray, first break for once and for all the covenant of death and the agreement with hell. That's it. Then after that, I will pause for people to give their comments, and then we're going to release the generational blessings. So that's the way in which I'm going to do it. So first, let me pray. You know, I'm going to pray the prayer of breaking the covenant, because people expect this prayer. So that's why I'm just going to do it. But to me, I know it's already broken. You just need knowledge. You know, so I'm going to pray the prayer of breaking the covenant of hell and the agreement with death. It shall not stand. Somebody say amen. It shall not stand. It shall not stand. I don't care, you know, what, even when it was done on your behalf without your knowledge, it still will not stand. That's right. It will not stand. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. We read that already in Isaiah chapter 28. And I'm going to use that to just pray for a minute. And after that prayer, I will release the mic to people to give their comment on what we've heard before we go forth into the declaring the generational blessings. Let me say it again. Your covenant with death, whether you did it knowingly or unknowingly, or whether it was done on your behalf knowingly. And in Africa, you know, people take your photo and go do a covenant with hell or death. They can take, you know, something that came from your skin or your body and so forth. They can use all kinds of weird stuff. You know, they can do all these things. You know, they can take a match, they can snuff it out and call your name over it. You know, I know about all these things. But ladies and gentlemen, you know, even the family that I grew up, I had one person in that family trying to do that to me. But it never worked. Even when I didn't even know the Lord. It never worked. You know, because, you know, we had this splinter family from a different, you know, different mother and all that stuff and so on. And there was a time the devil came up on one of them and was trying to do some things to some of us. It never worked. And I didn't even know the Lord strongly at that time, you know, let alone now that I've known the Lord. My goodness, you know, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Everyone that gathers together against you shall fall for thy sake. That's thus saith the living God. Hallelujah. You know, so never mind all these things. There shall be no enchantment or divination that will work against you. But don't go and submit to them. Then it will work if you submit to them. But if you don't submit to them, if you are walking in the light, darkness cannot comprehend your ways. They cannot know where you're going or coming. They cannot snuff out your light. You know, until one time I was praying for somebody, looking, and God was showing me some things, you know, some hands trying to snuff out some flame, you know. No, the enemy can't do that, you know. Hallelujah. And we've been talking about some fire in this room. The devil cannot snuff out your fire. Well, he has some tactics, attack your prayer life and so on, you know. And, you know, once you think that you are, you know, under this curse and so on, then you finished. So let's get it with that. Father, in the name of Jesus, we want to break this agreement with hell. Glory to God. Covenant with death, we break it. We disannul it in the name of Jesus. The agreement with hell shall not stand. We disannul it in the name of Jesus, whether knowingly or unknowingly. Whether they gave you something to eat or not. Whether they forced you, whether they laid hands on you at birth. Whether they consecrated you, you know, during your marriage or anything. Doesn't matter. You know, we break it in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Now, that being said, you know, we must move on. You know, we must move on. Jesus told a story. He said, look, when a strong man keeps his goods, he thinks he's at peace. You know, but when a stronger than he shall come upon him, you know, there's a process. First, you must bind the strong man. That's what I've done this morning. And then you will spoil his goods. That's called spoiling the spoiler. You know, praise God. Hallelujah. You know, so we're spoiling the spoiler this morning. Glory to God. Father, thank you for liberty for your people. You say, God has set you free. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Hallelujah. Father, we break all of that. We cover everyone in this room with the blood of Jesus Christ, the blood of the everlasting covenant. I cover everyone with Colossians 1 and 13, that God has taken us from the kingdom of darkness and has translated us unto the glorious kingdom of his Son, Jesus Christ. I cover everyone with Colossians 2 and 14 that Christ has taken the handwriting of ordinances and all of the generational curses, and he has nailed them to the cross, made an open show and spoiled principalities and powers. I cover everyone with Galatians 3, 13 and 14 that Christ was made a curse for us. He took upon him all the curses that could have been upon us. Hallelujah. Because curse is everyone that hangeth upon the tree. I cover everyone today with 2 Corinthians 5 and 21 that says that Jesus Christ was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Thank you, Jesus. And I cover everyone because Jesus, hanging upon the cross, he said, it is finished. Hallelujah. It is finished. I am come to do thy will, O God. In the volume of the book, it is written of me, a body thou hast prepared for me. And he took upon him that body, all our sins, all the handwriting of ordinances, all the curses. He nailed them to the cross. And he said, I am Alpha and Omega. Glory to God. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. And I have the keys of hell and death. I've got all of these things that devil used to put upon you in curses and all of these things. Whoop the devil from pillar to post and got all of that from him. He's spoiling. He made principalities and powers to bow down. Glory to God. He trampled over them. He crushed the head of the devil. Hallelujah. Now we can walk in victory and in newness of life. Let us not be entangled again. Don't look back. Remember Lot's wife. Don't keep looking back to all that nonsense. God has set you free. Hallelujah. We have liberty as the sons of God. Thank you, Jesus. Now, you must go with the word of God. You know, go with the word of God. Go with the word of God. Go with the word of God. God said to them, we covered this 3 days or so ago, as thou hast spoken in my ears, so will I do to you. You know, don't say anything negative. You know, speak the positive things, so that God will continue to do those things to you. Here's what you need to say today. And I'm going to declare that in a minute after I let people speak. You know, we read it in Psalm 16 and verse 6. That's the one you need to be speaking to yourself. You know, I now have a new spiritual heritage. That's right. I'm in the lineage of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, and the Christ himself. I mean, the lineage of blessing, you know, blessing, I will bless thee, multiplying, I will bless thee, you know, and so forth. I mean, that lineage, the blessing has passed on to me because of the sure mercies of David. I have a goodly heritage. Praise the Lord. God bless everyone. Welcome to the room. Lady Ebon, you are up first. Are you there, honey? Okay, I'll come back to her. Sister Buki, are you there?
Yes, I'll come back.
All right, Sister Buki, God bless you. Your comments.
Yes, sir. Good morning. Good morning, everybody. I just thank
you. We can't hear you clear. It's wonderful. Can you speak up?
Reminders. Yes, my volume is bad this morning. I don't know what happened to my phone. So, can you hear me, sir? Can you hear me, everybody?
Are you on a headset?
Yes, no.
Okay, well, we'll try to hear you. Go ahead.
Can you hear me, though?
Yes.
I know I'm sounding so low. I don't know what happened to my phone.
It's better.
Turn it off and start over so that I don't lose the message. So, I just want to thank God because this morning we were reminded.
Listen, Sister Buki, listen for a minute. Can you go out of the app and come back in? Maybe it will be better. Try that. Just exit and come right back in.
I did that several times.
Oh, you did? Oh, all right. Well, if you already did that.
I have to turn off my phone completely. Thank you.
All right, we'll come back to her. And Sister Pearl, let me hear from you. Thank you so much for being here.
Good morning, everyone. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Pastor and Liabu, for this teaching. I don't really have much to say, just taking it all in, but I bless the Lord. God bless everyone online.
Amen, amen, amen. Sister Maggie, welcome. I'm coming to you in a minute, Sister Lorna. Sister Maggie, are you there? All right.
Amen, I'm here.
Okay, go ahead. Your comments before we get to the prayers for releasing the generational blessings.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Can you hear me? My phone is doing something.
Yeah, we
praise the Lord.
We hear you.
Yeah. So I bless the Lord for the exposition of his word. And I thank him for the move of the Holy Spirit in the house. The Lord is good. I thank you. Thank you so much, Pastor Yato, for allowing the Lord to use you to bring up the promises of the Lord. The word of the Lord standeth sure forever. I'm so thrilled. I'm so blessed because there was a time the Lord revealed to me that the word of God is given to me to use to frame my world. That when the world was in chaos, there was darkness everywhere and everything looked like there was nothing. It was the word that the Lord spoke and brought everything beautiful that we see today into existence. And the Lord showed me that whatever it is, the word of God is given to me, not just to read it and keep quiet, but I should read it and study it and use it to frame my world. Like I'm building something. If it looks somehow, I should speak the word to that thing. I should speak the word to my life. I should speak the word to every situation, that the word of God will build whatever I want for me. And I've seen that it has been so real. It has been so true. So to me, it's a thing of joy that the Lord is revealing the power that is in the word of God, the power that is in being a Christian, being a believer. There is a scripture that says, beloved, what great love the Father has bestowed upon us, calling us the sons of God. It has not yet appeared what we will be, but we know that when we see him, we will be as he is. And that scripture as well brought into my mind that the Lord is still working on me. No matter what is going on, he is still working on me, taking me to the point of, you know, point of glorification, wherein I'll be manifested indeed as a son of God. So today, having heard this word, it has quickened me that we have a duty as believers to order our children in the path of the Lord, teach them the word of God, and use the faith and the power that the Lord has given us as his saints to make them to walk in that way. Whether they like it or not, as I have laid them, like I always say, I have laid my children on the altar of fire, on the altar of the Lord. No matter what, they will not do otherwise. They will certainly come back. And you have spoken it this morning again. They will certainly come back. Wherever they have gone, they will come because they have no other choice. They have no other life to live but that life of Jesus, because it is me and my household. So I thank the Lord so much for this morning. And as you were speaking, what was coming to my mind was the story of the bitter water, that the children of Israel, they were in the wilderness and the water was bitter. The people cried, oh, the water is bitter. They call the place Marah. But something happened. The Lord showed Moses. He took this stick and he put it in the water and the water became sweet. So what I have in my mind for everyone here today is wherever there is bitterness, I always look at that tree as the tree that he cut as the cross. Jesus has come. No matter what the bitterness is, no matter how the water is tasting, the water of our lives, in the lives of our children, in our home, wherever that cross, Jesus has coming. We put it into that situation and the bitterness must turn to sweetness, whether the devil likes it or not. So that is what I hold on to as we were talking this morning, that the curse has been taken away. It is now blessings. The bitterness has been taken away by the cross. And having been taken away, the bitterness has turned to sweetness and our lives must be sweet. Like in the prayer meeting today with Lady Ebon, the scripture that was coming to my mind was, he has taken captivity captive, that the Lord said he will reverse captivity. And that was what I prayed about, that whatever captivity the people of God are set free, because we have been set free and we have been given gifts, and it affects our seed, it affects our generation, and we will not take no for an answer, whether the devil likes it or not. So I prophesy this morning, every bitterness, wherever it is, in our lives, in the lives of the children, in our job, in our homes, in our career, every bitterness because of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, they are turned into sweetness and they begin to be sweet henceforth in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much for
having me. Amen.
Thank you so much. I bless everyone in the name of the Lord. God bless you. And I love you much, sir. God bless you again.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Maggie. Powerful declaration. Bitter waters turned to sweetness. Every bitterness that was there before, you know, had been turned to sweetness by the power of the Lord and the sacrifice that he made on the cross. But we must disengage from that in the name of Jesus. Thank you so much for sharing that. Okay, let me try Sister Buki again before I come to Sister Lorna. Sister Buki, let me try you again.
Yes, sir. I'm back. Praise God. Praise God.
Much better.
Yes, sir. Something was trying to attack my volume, my phone. I wasn't hearing the message clearly when you were speaking. I tried everything and it wasn't going to work, but I prayed, bless God, that my phone is back. Praise God, everybody. Such a wonderful reminders these words this morning are to me. What I just want to share really quickly, when I was newly born again, so born into all these things, you know, all this nasty entanglement of the devil on both sides of my family. But when I gave my life to Christ many years ago, the Lord, you know, taught me, just like you read, how we to deliver ourselves from all these things. And I bless God that I did, you know, broke one day. The Lord took me into that place and I prayed through and broke all those things. And I've believed God since then that nobody and none of these curses. So I thank God the emphasis today is on generational blessings, because that's how we should look at it. We are really blessed. Jesus became that curse for us. He died already. And he took all those things already. He took the bullet for us. So we shouldn't dwell in that place anymore. I live in that victory that Jesus has already given. And not looking back and believing that anything that anybody has done, is doing, or will do, would ever affect me and my children. So I thank you, sir, for those wonderful reminders. I believe them, that Jesus already took the bullet. All the curses and all the whatever anybody may be doing or has done will not affect us, will not affect our children. I thank God that, you know, the emphasis today is not only us being blessed, but our children, our children's children. So I believe that for everybody in this room today, that whatever anybody has done, is doing, and we yet do, will not affect us. We the Bible says we are above, you know, we're sitting in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, far above principalities and powers. So if we're sitting with the King on his throne with him, because that's where we're going to be eventually, how can somebody, you know, put a curse on us? I believe that we are being delivered from the power of darkness. So we should live in that victory today we have been reminded, we have been delivered already. We received that victory, and we will go in that victory in Jesus' name. Thank you, everybody. And I thank you, sir, for just this dedication and this time you're spending daily with us. We appreciate it so much. Thank you, Ma, Sister Ebon, and Pastor Yada. We appreciate you so much. I thank God for today. I got to run because I'm working this weekend, but I will still stay on the line till even while I'm driving. Thank you, everybody. God bless you as you go in the victory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Sister Buki. God bless you so much. Thank you for dropping those. Yes, a powerful testimony there of, you know, self-deliverance through the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ and walking in that victory since she got that revelation and not putting her neck back under those yokes of bondage. Thank you so much for sharing that. That is so powerful. I'm going to go to Sister Lorna now. Sister Lorna, welcome. I'll come
back.
Thank you.
I've been burned because this is confirming what I have experienced this week, because there's an African prophet who called me, and they were there telling me they saw some spirit trying to come upon me, and then they wanted me to bathe in communion for 3 days. And at first they told me to take communion. I took the set. Then they were like, oh, I need you to bathe in it for 3 days. I said, well, I just have a small cup. And they told me buy a bottle of grape juice. But then I said, listen, I'm going to pray to myself. I'm going to pray about everything before I just go and do what a prophet said. Because I was like, how many times must I be warding off demons and evil spirits when, you know, like you said, the curse is broken as Christians. You know, the Bible said, Psalm 91, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High God shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty, and that, you know, 10,000 may fall at your side, but you shall not fall, and all this other, you know, no plague shall come by your dwelling. So it's like, why do I have to every day speaking and praying against evil spirits if the word of God says, as a believer, I am protected? That's number one. And then number two, he was like, oh, you're gonna feel something in your stomach, you know, the devil trying, you know, pray for your children in your stomach. Well, that's feeling in my stomach. What, that was my period, was on the way. So am I going to believe a prophet report and start thinking it's a demon trying to attack me when it's something natural? And then he said, oh, you're going to start feeling something in your toes. You're going to come after your toes. I was like, listen, I was like, I'm tired of fighting the devil, because the Bible says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And how did Jesus fight the devil? He quoted scripture. He said, each time it is written, it is written. So I just started quoting the word of God, because people think that the power, that the devil is equal to God, or that the evil spirits are equal to the power of God, where it says, no, that Satan is under our feet, and God has given us the authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy, and the devil has already been defeated. And then it says that God has not given us a spirit of fear or intimidation. So the so-called prophets, African prophets, is like they're more studying witchcraft than the power of God, because the Bible says, you know, greater is he that is in me, that he is in the world, and God has not given us a spirit of fear and intimidation. So I said, listen, I'm not going to be afraid of any demon. I'm not going to be afraid of any evil spirit. And then he said, telling me, I'll start hearing voices. I was like, well, I don't receive anything. I'm not going to come into agreement with none of that. It's like, I am sick of fighting the devil. Like you said, we have to focus on the power of God, study the power of God. Even in Ephesians, it says, be strong in the power of the Lord and in the power of his might, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And it says, to take in above all the shield of faith, by which you may be able to quench all the fiery darts of the enemy. So why am I studying demons The Bible never said to study demons. Never. It said to study the word of God and test the spirits, but it never said to study demons. But every time all these, I'm sorry to say, all these so-called or these African prophets on Clubhouse, every day is a room about deliverance. Every day is a room about how to break evil spirits. Why they so studying evil when they need to be studying the power of God? In the Bible, it's more talks about the power of God than the power of the enemy. And, you know, basically, even when another weapon of warfare was praised, when Paul and Silas were in the prison, they started to praise, and that broke up the chain. So why am I going to exalt and magnify the devil and think he is greater than the power of God when he is not? And I'm not going to take communion and bathe in communion because that represents the power of God. The Bible never said to bathe in communion. It said to drink the body and blood. So to me, that is a form of witchcraft when you people are taking what is sacred and using it for some other use. So, you know, this room just confirmed, and to me, that's more confirming because you and your wife are both from Africa, but you are not incorporating these African voodoo rituals into Christianity like a lot of these pastors and prophets are doing. So this room is very much confirming to me that I didn't have to come into agreement with what that prophet said. Then he started telling me, the seed I saw was representing my blood on the altar. I said, well, I repent of that covenant. If I made any covenant, seed, if it represents my blood on the altar. You know, just, you know, to me, a lot of stuff that's not even biblical and is more sounding like voodoo and witchcraft under the guising under Christianity.
Wow. Well, you said it yourself. You don't need to listen to any of that. And I think you spent too much time even listening to that. And I think you should have cut them off, you know, and then moved on. But I think we brought the truth here today. You know, light and darkness are there side by side. You need to pick and choose which one you want to hear. You know, people spend a lot of time hearing about all these curses and so on and so forth. But we spend very little time telling the children of God about their blessings, you know. So, you know, I want to be a child of encouragement. You know, and you know, those powers are there. You know, I can tell you stories for the next 2 hours, you know, but look, you know, that's not our portion. You know, our portion is for us to focus on the things that are freely given us of God, you know, and these are the things, you know, and we don't need to be dwelling in the region of darkness. You know, the region of darkness is out there, you know. But the Bible said from the beginning that God made, you know, two great lights, one to rule the day and one to rule the night. Well, we are children of that day. We're not children of the night. So the powers of darkness, the moon and all that, cannot rule over me because I'm not part of the darkness. I'm part of the day. Glory to God. You know, but they are there. There's no question about that. And here in the U.S., we have this Halloween thing that's coming and so forth like that. Everybody's gearing up. Even in my neighborhood, there's Halloween. There's all kinds of things, you know. And people don't know what they're messing with, you know. But, you know, that's their choice because they are in darkness, you know. But for me and my house, we will serve the Lord and we will praise the Lord, you know. And hopefully no believer or anybody in this room is messing with that Halloween stuff, you know, because you open those portals, then, of course, they will come. You know, John 3:8 says, they don't know where you're blowing or where you're going because you are born of the Spirit of God. But if you go submit to that, then they will know where you're going and they will know where you're going and they will have power over you. But so be careful how and what you hear. You know, Mark chapter 4 and I think verse 24 says that be careful, you know, take heed, you know, how you hear, take heed what you hear. You know, because the ears are also gateways. You know, people don't know that. That's the eyes are gateways. The ears are gateways. You know, many of these senses are gateways. You know, they can be gateways for the Spirit of God. They can also be gateways for the demonic world. You know, so don't listen to stuff that's not, you know, listen. Isaiah 8 and verse 20. That's my That's my bottom line to this kind of stuff. Isaiah 8:20 says, to the law and to the testimony. You know, always go back to the word. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. And I'm not going to engage in it, you know, turn off the phone and move on and tell them to get away from you. That's what Jesus said. Get thee behind me. You know, so praise God. And sometimes even a voice may come through somebody you know. Just like, you know, the voice came to Jesus through Peter, you know, was trying to discourage Christ from going to the cross, you know. And so Peter, you know, said that, you know, you'll never go to the cross and all that. And the Lord looked at him and said, and he saw in that one moment that the enemy had taken over him. And he says to him, you know, Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. That's right. And sometimes we got to do that. I don't care who it is. You know, you got to point blank get them out of your life and then move on. You know, so, you know, I think you know what to do. And I think you're doing the right thing. And I'm glad that you're here. God bless you, Sister Lorna. All right. I'm going to go to my wife now. Can you speak now?
Yes, yes, yes. Praise the Lord. Wow. Wow. Praise the Lord. Thank you, everyone. I bless the Lord for everyone in this room. Thank you for your dedication. I want to thank God for my husband, for his dedication. I know this is kind of strange to him, and the Lord is moving. The Lord is moving. You know, I know several times he would tell me, oh, I can't wake up this early, but the Lord has started a new thing whereof we are glad. Glory be to God. So this is powerful. This is powerful, you know. You cannot be under bondage. No generational curse can take over your life. You know, it's generational blessing. As in, I was looking at Psalm, I think it was Psalm 105. So the word of the Lord, he commanded to 1,000 generations. Oh, I think let me start from number one. Give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him with psalms, and seek his face forevermore. Remember his marvelous works. And then is the Lord God, is the judgment in all the earth. He has remembered his covenant forever. I'm looking at 8. The words which he commanded to 1,000 generations. God did not only bless us, he blessed our children into unto 1,000 generations, which covenant he made with Abraham, and his oath unto Isaac, and he confirmed the same unto Jacob for a law, and to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying unto thee, will I give the land of Canaan. And so this blessing is, you know, trickled down into our generation. The Lord has promised, and we will receive it for our children, our children's children, that the Lord, no matter where they are, just like Sister Maggie said, the Lord will turn them back because of his promises. Because he does not promise us in vain. He has promised us that this blessing is unto generation to generation, our children's children. And the one we are even enjoying now might be a blessing from our fathers that God has conferred unto them, that we are enjoying the blessing of God. So let us take on. And another revelation that was revealed to me during this time, I mean, the words are powerful, you know, is this lost wife. You know, not just, when we thought like looking back is just physical looking back, but it could be anything that would draw you back to the old ways, that would draw you back to your old beliefs system. You know, for all of a sudden, you could be in a gathering where they're talking about, oh, generational causes, this, and then they're subject onto that. And then you need to get up and say, no, I am no longer under generational cause. I am under generational blessing. Yes, that's what it is. I am under the blessing of God that maketh rich and added no sorrow to it, that my children are blessed. They are healed. I have supernatural health. Yes, divine health is my portion. And then you begin to claim all the things that God has prepared for him. Say, eyes have not seen, or ears have heard, the things that God has prepared for those who love him. And because you love him, God has prepared a table before you in the presence of your enemy. And he has anointed your head with oil. Your cup runneth over. Yes, your cup runs over. Therefore, let us walk in the liberty that God has given unto us. Yes, to ride upon in high places with God. Yes, that is our portion. And not entertain any fear whatsoever. You know, the arrow that the devil throws at you is fear. Anything happens around you, you're gripped with fear, and then there it is, it got you. But when you have the word of God, when you are stable, when you know who you believe, and you can stand against any opposition of the enemy through Christ Jesus, because you are seated upon in the heavenly places, above principalities and powers, above spiritual wickedness in high places, and all those weapons that will come against you, they will not prosper. They will not prosper. The devil will throw his weapons. He will throw his, it will not prosper. It's a promise because you love the Lord. So let us latch on to the victory that Christ has brought into our lives. Let us latch on into that victory, and let us go on and take on the armor or that the Lord has given us, the armor of righteousness. Let us walk in righteousness. The only thing that will make the enemy to have any power on you is when you go back into sin, when you go back into believing those things again. So let us go on believing and knowing that the Lord has done it. The Lord has given us the victory. That is the reason why he came, that he might make ashamed and expose all the wicked plans of the enemy. Let us walk in our victory. I thank God for this room. I thank God for everyone that are here, contributed in one way or the other to lift up our faith. Yes, to lift up our faith in the Lord. So God bless you. To my husband, Pastor Yato, God bless you for all that you're doing. And God bless everyone in this house, those who are posting pictures, scriptures. Well, I go back to those scriptures and they are so powerful. God bless you all. This is Eben, and I will be yielding my mic. Thank you.
Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Now, that's my lady. So you tell them, you know, so that for this purpose was the Son of Man or Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. 1 John 3:8. Now, listen, you know, in case people are coming in or just listening or they jumped in and listened to some parts of the thing, we're not saying that those works of the devil are not there. We're not saying that, you know, those, you know, curses are not there. They are there, you know, and so forth like that. But the first step to victory in Christ, you know, is to be delivered from darkness unto light and from the power of God, I mean, Satan unto the power of God. You know, that's how Jesus explained the gospel to Paul. You know, that's, this is how you preach the gospel. Deliver the people from darkness, you know, and so forth. We read that in Acts chapter 26, you know, verses 17 and 18. You know, Jesus told him, this is what you have to do. Open their eyes. You know, that's what we try to do with this message. You know, turn the people from darkness to light. Turn them from the power of Satan to God. You know, when we do that, you know, we leave those things behind. You know, we don't need to keep coming every time. If it's your first time and you get the word of deliverance from a minister, a man or woman of God and so forth, then be done with it and then move on to the light. And don't keep coming back, you know, and keep talking about generational curses all the time. We need to hear more about the generational blessings. So this is what we are talking about. We're not saying that those are not there, you know, and I know a fair share of that darkness, trust me, but I choose to not dwell in it. I choose not worry about it. Now, if I encounter somebody that needs help and deliverance in those areas, of course, you know, but my message is of light. You know, my God did not send me to preach darkness. God sent me to preach the light, you know, so I will be preaching on this light, you know, and so on and so forth. And people must get away, you know, from that darkness. So that's what we're talking about today. Brother Jaira, thanks for coming to the stage. you know, I am going to come to you in just a minute, but I want to quickly tell everyone that I posted a link at the top of this room to our next room, which will be in about 3 hours or so, on a totally different subject, but you don't want to miss it. You know, so, you know, we invite you to come and be with us there. And if you are not following this club, this Walking with God club, powerful, you know, you should follow. Click the little greenhouse button at the top of the house and follow. Or better still, follow me as an individual or my wife. You know, that way when we open any of these rooms, whether it's on this club or some other club, we have a few of them, you get notification when we start these rooms. And every morning now, since the beginning of October, when God called for it, and God called for it from Genesis, with Genesis chapter 8 and verse 5, on the very first day of the month, you know, the Lord called for it and told me to read that scripture, you know, and I read it, and it said that the waters were receding gradually until the 10th month. And in the 10th month, on the first day of the month, were the tops of the mountains visible. So we saw that we're just within reach. And this is a month of blessing, you know, and so forth. And there is a chapter that God will, you know, walk with us for the rest of this. I mean, there's something that the Lord is doing for the rest of this year. We're entering into it, you know. I want to enter into it. And I believe I've entered into it now, not just for October, but going forward. Praise God. And like my wife was saying, I never liked to wake up at 3 o'clock or 3:30 or 4 o'clock. You know, 5 o'clock was my thing. And that 1 hour made a big difference. You know, don't wake me up at 4 o'clock or 3 o'clock or whatever. But, you know, I can get up at 5. I can actually stay. I may not go to sleep till even 3 a.m. I don't care. You know, I can stay late. But go to sleep, get up early in the morning. No. But yes, God is doing a new thing. I'm getting up now early in the morning. You know, and, you know, commanding the womb of the morning. Oh, glory to God. You know, so that's what we're doing. Join us in these prayer fire rooms. You know, we're trying to bring back that prayer fire into our bosoms. But that's how the devil will finish you once he attacks your prayer life. You know, that's it. You know, and while we are doing it, we're not just out here just praying. We're out here praying with understanding. Because so we set the basis. We put the scriptures. We align ourselves with the word of God. We speak what God says, because, you know, who is it that saith and it comes to pass? Lamentation 3:37, when the Lord has not commanded it. So when we pray, we use the scriptures and we do it aright, you know, so we do the right thing. Thank you, Brother Jara, for being here. I yield the mic to you.
Well, thank you, Brother Yato. I hope you can hear me clearly. I'm actually out and about at the moment. I just wanted to say thank you for your word and encouraging us to stand upon the word of God. And it just goes to show it's so important to have the word of God in our hearts, in our minds, so that when we need to call upon the word of God, we can actually use it. Because what God is doing is he's calling us to the kingdom of kings and priests, where we not only understand the word of God, but we're able to take the authority of God's word, and we're able to relay that word to others. And it's the word of God that then transforms and sets people free. Because what the enemy tries to do is to try to bring people back into bondage. And we know that Christ has paid the ultimate price to actually set us free so that we can live a life of liberty. And we see, even when we look at many cultures, many people have actually mixed different ideologies and different religions together, and even doctrines combined. The word of God is very, very clear. That we understand the word of God, and we take the word of God, and we apply the word of God, it works. Because, you know, God, as you rightly said, has trapped and powers and made an open show of them. And the only way that the enemy can get into someone's life is by using the same old tactics of trying to deceive people, because he perceives that they don't understand or know the word of God And those people that don't know the word of God, that's where he tries to trick them and into believing his lies. But praise God, the word of God says that whom the Son has set free, they are free indeed. And this is a great time for preaching the gospel, because people are searching for the light. People are searching for God. They are searching for the kingdom. And as people try and they take the word of God and apply it, then they will see the results as they believe. So now, Lord, thank you again for your word and encouraging us, reminding us to stand and not be deceived by the works of the enemy. And with that, I yield. God bless you.
Amen. Thank you so much. I think I heard most of what you said. There was some scratching and noise in the background, but thank you so much for coming to share. Listen, we talked about this yesterday, John 8 and 32. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. The truth by itself doesn't set anybody free. You know, it is the truth that you know. The emphasis is on knowing the truth. Not just, you know, Jesus didn't say, you know, and the truth shall set you free just by itself. No, the truth doesn't set anybody free if you don't know it. The truth is already out there, but unless we know the truth, it will not set us free. So we've got to know the truth. And some of us have the responsibility to share this truth. And all of us have it. Now that you know, you must share. Paul said to Timothy, look, the words that I have given you, you know, take them to heart and put them before faithful men who will also put it before other faithful men. So it becomes a ripple effect. We, you know, we continue to share, you know, the word and so on and so forth like that. And that's how, you know, that's how the Lord, you know, blesses us, you know. So, you know, let's make sure that we carry this word with us. Be that light and don't let anything put that light out. And remember, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. You know, Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. You know, and he also gave a stern warning there. You know, he said, because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject you. Oh, we don't want any part of that. You know, I will reject you that you should be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the Lord of thy God. And I will also forget that. I don't even want any part of that. All of that because people do not choose knowledge. So this is very serious warning here in, you know, Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6. So let's choose knowledge. These things that we place in front of you today, this is knowledge. You to take it and use it. And don't be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Now, we're going to pray. Those of you that are on stage with me, feel free. You know, I'm no longer preaching, so it's good for you to, you can open your mic. We're going to do a few declarations. We'll be closing the room in just a few minutes. We're going to do a few declarations now around generational blessings. And anything you want to declare for yourself and your children based on all the things we've talked about, feel free to do that. Remember, as you have spoken in my ears, so will I do unto you. And remember, the angels of God, the strong, mighty, powerful angels, you know, Psalm 103, verse 20, you know, that excel in strength, they are hearkening to the voice of his word. They do his commandments. They're hearkening to the voice of his word. When you give voice to that word, they go into operation on your behalf. Father, in the name of Jesus, now I want you to release your mic and begin to declare for yourself and for your children. And if you are in the audience and the listening lounge, post your declaration into the chat room as well. Those that you are on stage, feel free to open your mic up and declare. I declare for myself. I declare for my house. I declare for my children. I declare blessings, the blessings of God. God has promised in this world, because I am the power of God, because I am the slayer
and bless the Holy Spirit in my heart.
Because I am a child of Abraham. Lord, I receive the blessings of myself. I receive it from my children. I command that blessing to be upon them. Everything that they have put on this device is going to be about to add in the name of Jesus. They have power. They shall go forth. They shall grow as strong as they are.
In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, all my children, they dwell in peace. They have been raised of God. The name of the Lord is upon them. My share against the enemy.
Breaks the yoke.
In the name of Jesus, Father, they count the lion as a lion, and as a lion, God has broken the yoke. Lord, our blessed, in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, Lord Jesus, you make no harm come around them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus, Father, they count the lion as a lion, and as a lion, God has broken the yoke. My shadow, Lord, the lion of Judah has broken every yoke.
And he has given us the victory again and again. One scripture. Thank you, Sister Grace, for posting that. As soon as I posted it, I saw you had posted it as well. In Isaiah 10:27 says, it shall come to pass. You know that the Lord is going to break that yoke. And he has done it already. You know, Isaiah was prophesying about it, but he has already done it. You know, it shall break the yoke of the devil off of our necks, and the yoke shall be broken because of the anointing. I'm going to sing this chorus for just once or twice, and we'll be closing the room. The Lion of Judah has broken every yoke and given us the victory.
Again,
have combined together to give us power over all of these things. And we have it in the name of Jesus. So go in the strength of the Lord and enjoy the victory of the Lord. Let there be a song of victory in your heart and in your mouth as you go through this day. Enjoy the blessings. Hallelujah. And I invite everyone that's in the room or listening later on, give a follow to myself or Lady Ebon. That's the way that you are going to know when we host other rooms. There's one more room coming up in about 2.5 hours. You don't want to miss that. And I put it on the link on top of this room. You can copy it and join us then. It's going to be powerful room. We're going to break some other myths that been, causing people to dance around in circles, you know. So, you come and join us in that room. It's going to be very, very powerful. And that will be the end of the rooms for today. After that one, we will not be having our marriage ministry today. We had it actually yesterday because we are going for a night of worship at our local church here in Phoenix, Arizona. It could be powerful. That's going to be another powerful session. So we will not be having an evening room, but we're going to have this one coming up in about 2.5 hours right here on Clubhouse under Walking with God. It's going to be powerful. And by the grace of God, we will be back tomorrow morning. I thought I was going to split this generational blessings into parts 1 and 2. And I schedule part 2 for tomorrow. But we will have the room tomorrow, but it will not be that topic. I think we've covered it enough today. We covered it enough. I'm going to move on to something else. We'll be back here. Another hour of power with prayer fire in this room tomorrow at 4:15 p.m. Pacific time. And that is 4:15 a.m. Pacific time in the morning. And 7:15 a.m. Eastern time. And that is 12:15 Pacific time for those who are in UK or Nigeria and so forth. So blessings to all of you. Greetings, Sister Rachel. So good to see you again. And everyone in the listening lounge or VIP lounge, as we call it, Sister Alexis, Sister VL, Brother Kyle, Brother Colapo, Esosa, Sister Rachel, Sister Grace, Joseph, Patricia, God bless you. Those of you on stage, Sister Lorna, Sister Maggie, Sister Julia, Sister Pearl, and of course, my wife, Lady Ebon, God bless you all. We will be closing the room now, and I say, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to continue to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious unto you and lift up his countenance upon you, and may the Lord grant you peace by all means in everything and give you an answer of peace concerning anything in the name of Jesus. I made a covenant that the Lord has established upon you for good and for peace, you know, continue not only upon you, but on all your children. For I know the thoughts that I have towards you, thoughts of good and of for peace and never for evil. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. We will be closing this room now in about 5 seconds. You go and have a blessed day. Come back and join us in about 2.5 hours. We'll be back here. Look for the link. Then we'll be back. And it will be another powerful session. Different topic. We'll be talking about the revelation of the eternal Godhead and Jesus Christ. That's going to be powerful. You don't want to miss that. All right. God bless you. This room is now closing in 5 seconds. 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1. God bless everyone. Have a great day. We'll see you soon. Love you all.